Kings just disemboweled the Bucks last night, and now we're getting ready for the Kings and the Lakers tonight. Drive Guys with you. We also have Drapes Takes coming up here in just a bit. Apologies. Drapes was about halfway through his last Drape Takes. We had some sort of problems here. Obviously, the Lakers broke in to the communication, something. So we weren't able to share all of that with you, so we're looking forward to that, Drapes.
Yeah, that's coming up. I'm excited. I'll rehash that and come with a little new flavor as well. It's interesting. I'm sitting here watching. I just was reminded that, oh, yeah, we're playing the Lakers tonight. I see Dave McMenamin of ESPN down here on the sideline, mm-hmm. setting up his camera and everything, getting ready. And I forgot, oh, yeah, it's an ESPN game also. And so we're going to get a lot of love. Well, we should get a lot of love tonight. And, we got Dave coming up. Coming up a little later. Dave McMenamin, ESPN reporter. He'll be joining us here on The Drive, guys. And so this is a big game tonight.
It absolutely
is. A lot of
is.
Eyeballs on this one tonight.
It's very interesting to me that as we seem to be getting a clearer idea of what the Kings are or what they should be, Malik Monk is a bigger and bigger part of that. Would you agree? What's the character of this team? Well, it's like they got to be more like Malik Monk. They got to be scrappy. And he's the one that said Sunday, you know what? We gave in a little too early. He's the one talking about how hard they got to play. We have to play harder than the other team. And that's absolutely their best path forward.
Yeah, and he's one of those leaders that can, you know, show that on the court. Like, you know, I said it earlier, like the way he plays is kind of contagious, you know. When he has that swagger, when he has that balance, when Malik is just blending in, that means the team isn't flowing as well. And so, no, he's the heart and soul of this team. I think, you know, and we had on Sean Cunningham a little bit ago, and he mentioned it. He's the X factor for this team. You know, I always thought it was Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk, but, you know, Domas and De'Aaron, they're going to get their 20 points. If you get another 20-point-per-game score, and Malik Monk has been on a tear as of late, I think that just makes this team, you know, so much more dangerous. And we'll see tonight. You know, this is a big game tonight. I don't think they've been 11 games over 500 at any point this season. And so there's an opportunity here tonight for the Sacramento Kings.
We're going to talk a little more about it coming up this hour, but Malik set a franchise record last night, as you may know. Most assists for a reserve player. He broke Bobby Jackson's record. One of the funny things about that is after the game, somebody asked De'Aaron Fox about that, and he said, he should have broken that record a long time ago. He said B-Jax wasn't looking to share the ball with anybody. So that that was pretty funny. But I asked Malik about the fact that here he is. He had no turnovers last night, 5 assists. So I asked him, hey, have you gotten better at playing the position since you've been here? Here's his answer, a very typical Malik answer.
King of the Kings, you clearly are a much better point guard than a lot of people realize. The more point guard you've played while you've been here, do you feel like you've gotten better at playing point guard?
More comfortable. I wouldn't say better because I had the ball in my hands my whole life. I just got way more comfortable in the decision-making and reading the NBA court.
Yeah, I said, not better. Not better, just more comfortable.
It's more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's always been there. Now it's just more comfortable showing it off. And, and that's a different dimension than we expected from him. Like, you know, it's only his second year here. And to break Bobby Jackson's record in a year and a half or a year and three quarters is tremendous. But when he came here, I only viewed him as a scorer, you know, six-man, guy that can get you buckets. Like, he's their second-best playmaker behind Domantas Sabonis in terms of, like, facilitating the offense, setting guys up. You know, he may not average as many assists as De'Aaron Fox, but they're very close. Fox is at 5.6, Malik Monk 5.3. And this is a guy that's coming off the bench doing that. That's massive. Imagine if he was a starter on a team where – he really gets to handle the ball. He could easily be a 7 or 8 assist guy in this league.
He's better at running the pick and roll than De'Aaron Fox, right? He just is.
Yeah. But I will say this. I feel like we see it more with Malik Monk. Like with De'Aaron, De'Aaron a lot plays off Domas Sabonis. When Malik's there, I feel like Domas is playing off Malik a lot more. And so I think it's different roles. De'Aaron is asked to be a bucket getter on this team, especially when you got a center. See, De'Aaron is sort of like Jamal Murray. You look at Jamal Murray in Denver, he's a bucket getter. His assist numbers aren't through the roof. That's because you got Jokic as well. And the fact that Malik can average better than 5 assists a game when you have Domas running the point center, when you have De'Aaron Fox, a testament to him, I think.
Last week, you and I talked about the fact that 3-point shots for the Kings were trending down.
Yeah.
And last night, they did get up 43s for the first time in many games. They shot, as you know, 53%, 45 from threes. They had 34 assists, so the offense was just humming last night. So I asked Mike Brown about why the offense was clicking and how much it had to do with his – we'll get to that in just a second. But we know that Mike Brown has been talking a lot about – getting the paint and spraying the
spray
ball.
Threes,
getting the paint and spraying
right.
the ball. Yeah.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of that last night, and I thought especially during the first quarter, that's how they, you know, really got started off on a hot note. And you mentioned it earlier. Harrison Barnes probably benefits the most from – and I think Kevin Huerter too. Like, you know, those catch and shoot off of movement when guys are penetrating and kick out, those are rhythm three-pointers. It's not off the dribble. It's not trying to do something, you know, coming off screens or anything. Like, your feet are already set. And so I think those two guys, to your point, benefit the most from that.
After the game, Dame Lillard said the offense is very similar to the Warrior offense. Want to see what you think about that. But first, Mike Brown, after the game last night, explaining why the offense was humming.
We're not coming off a pick and roll and shooting a three. We're not dancing with it and shooting a three. We have to move the basketball. Now, we're going to get some off of DHOs, you know, because Domas does a great job with his screening and his handoffs, and we play with pace coming off those things. But you're not going to be able to get a lot if people know you play the DHO game, because see how teams, they're physical with us. They're slapping down at the ball, hitting our bodies, all that other stuff when we're coming off DHOs. So the one thing that we have to do, they know Foxy can get to the paint. They know Domas catches the ball in the pocket. They know Malik can get to the paint. Davion and other guys have done it too. We have to spray the ball because everybody is doing that. And so what you said is 100% accurate. We were able to get up more threes tonight because we sprayed the ball, and that was one of the biggest things that I mentioned is our 20 sprays. If that's what we want every game, are we going to get 20 sprays? Probably not, but if we can get close to it, great. Are we going to go 10 for 20 every time? Probably not, but we're at least going to have a heck of a chance to get closer to 50% or better, plus get the amount of threes. We want 40, 50 threes if we can get them.
Hey, Whitey, you were 100% accurate, but I got Mike Brown to say it for one night. So. I'll take that.
You'll take that, right? It's not, no,
what
but
you said is 100% accurate.
Oh, Jay, you had to clip that too? Come on, man. All right. You know, you were right and accurate about that. And, you know, I know I railed on Mike yesterday for talking all about the spray threes, but that's something he truly believes in. That's the foundation of their offense. And so if it's not being the foundation, it's like being an NFL team and the play action pass is the foundation, but you never run the play action. It's like that's not who we are. Mike Brown is trying to get this team to be who they are, and it's a spray three, tough physical defensive team. And so that's why he keeps harping on it. It's not like, oh, we're not doing it, so let me think of something else. No, this is how it has to be done for us to be successful. And the players have to trust that, the coaches, the media, the fans. And so I get it, Mike. 65 games in or whatever it is, spray threes, you still want to talk about it? I understand it now because that's what this team needs if they're going to be successful.
Drape's takes are next from the Golden One here. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Jay just looked up the list of the panelists for The Ringer that assembled their top 100 players, and none of those analysts are going to be on our top 100 basketball analysts right now.
No, our guy Michael Pina, he's a friend of show too, right? We've had him on the show before.
Depends on his view. I mean, are you saying maybe he wanted Malik in the top 100?
Right.
Everybody else,
right? Exactly.
No?
He might have fought for Malik. I will say, I texted Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah.
So I thought he might be a part of it. He wasn't a part of this. He's of The Ringer. I asked him, where is Malik in your NBA list of players? Top 100? Question mark? Probably borderline, he said. I don't know. 80. He said 80 to 120.
What? What? That's worse.
No, but if he said 80, though, he said it could be 80.
But that's such a huge.
But that's like that. That's just on the spot, you know.
If you're gonna say no, have the guts to say no. Don't say, oh, 80 to 120.
I'm trying to get my guys.
I understand.
I'm he's happy just he not helping me back.
But yeah, that's nice. But he's not helping himself out there much, is he? Well, we talk about it 100, right? And he's got a 40-player variance in his estimate.
But I put him on the spot, right? He didn't deep dive into the numbers, the analytics, or anything
I'll
like that.
I'll get back to you.
Off the top of my head, I don't know, 80 to 120.
Drapes, what you should do is just take one of those names that's on the bottom 90, like the 90 to 100, and be like, you know, and I don't mean to pick on somebody, you know, anybody. Yeah. You could be Chris Paul. He's only played 7 games. Yeah.
Isaiah Hartenstein.
Come on.
Hartenstein is better. That's ridiculous. So if Isaiah Hartenstein's on that list, let me just say this, and I have not looked at the list. How many Knicks are in the top 100? If Isaiah Hartenstein's on the list, think about that.
I know.
He's I'm
like
looking.
The 8th best player on the Knicks right now. Like, Jay, look that up, because the Knicks got like 7 guys on there. So that's what I'm talking about. If Malik had on a Knicks jersey, he would be top 70, mm-hmm. You know? And that's the – all right, you got OG Anunoby. You got Jalen Brunson. You got Julius Randle. That's 3 to name right there.
Tyler Hero's better than Malik Monk?
Tyler got a 6th man of the year under his belt.
Okay. You know,
that's I put them right at the same category. Where's Tyler Hero listed? Where was he listed?
He is – I just saw it here. Give me just a second. 72nd. I believe last year at the end of the year, they had him 72nd and they had Herder 71st.
Oh, I remember that.
And
yeah.
Tyler Hero wasn't happy about that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He thought he should have been higher. Yes.
Yeah. We'll circle back to that right now.
Deep dive into
it. Yeah, right now it's time for Drapes Takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Once again, excited to bring you Drapes Takes here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports 1140. And I'll start it off like this. When you look at what transpired last night, Domas was fantastic. Another double-double. De'Aaron Fox had 29. But I thought 3 guys, Whitey, really set the tone right from the jump for the Sacramento Kings. And they're the 3 guys that hit their first 3 three-pointers. Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, and Keon Ellis. I thought the way they started that game, the pace at which they played, and give Keon credit, knock it down that 3, you know, early on, I thought was huge. Like, the way they started that game, I feel like they set the tone for the Kings last night.
I honestly felt like going into last night, you know, that Keon was 4-0 as a starter. I felt like, wow, without Keegan, if they win tonight, he's 5-0 as a starter against the Bucks. We need to build a statue of him. So I'm just trying to figure out where it goes today. That's all.
Let me ask you this, though. Is his offense a bonus, or do we need him to score when he's out there?
He's got to score some.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a funky-looking jump shot. I like it. But Jay Triano was on with Jay and I a couple days ago, and he said he's got a side spin on it. He does. He has a funky-looking shot.
Yeah, a little side. But he made that first one.
Yep.
And think about it. They only had 6 threes against the Houston Rockets. Midway through the first quarter, they had 6 threes against the Milwaukee Bucks. I thought those 3 guys really set the tone. And let's stay on Keon Ellis, if you will. You know, and you and I talked about him a couple of weeks ago or last week, and I'm like, I don't think I would replace Kevin Herter with him in the starting lineup. But what Keon did last night to Damian Lillard, I thought was amazing. Dame is a top 75 player, a Hall of Famer. He didn't want to be in Sacramento last night. Mm-mm. He was a non-factor, just 2 of 12. This is Damian Lillard we're talking about. Keon Ellis put the clamps on him last night.
He just has a knack, right, for being in the passing lane, and wherever the ball is, he's there with a hand outreached.
Yes, exactly. And that brings me to the next Drapes Take. The key to this Sacramento Kings defense, we talked so much about three-pointers, and it was great to finally see somebody miss shots against us. The Bucks struggled from three-point range last night, 7 of 39. But I thought the defense on the ball was much better all around, all 5 guys on the floor. I rarely saw a member of the Bucks just blow by our guys, get us in bad rotations. Outside of Giannis, like, the rest of the Bucks, they had no penetration last night.
I think that's the worst thing about the Kings defense when it's not effective is they're not getting pressure on the ball. And as we've said, it's akin to getting a pass rush in football. If you can't get pressure on the quarterback, or in basketball, if you can't get pressure on the basketball, you're doomed.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that three-guard lineup, when you throw in Davion as well, think about the ball pressure that you could get. And the thing I like about Keon Ellis in his defense is that he's picking guys up at half court. Like, he's not, you know, if there's a, and you've coached youth basketball, there's a difference between playing defense and making somebody's life miserable. Mm-hmm. And Keon makes guys' life, Davion does it as well. They don't relax on the defensive end. Too many times you see in the NBA and even on the youth level, people relaxing on the defensive end. No, Keon plays the defensive end sort of like the same pace and same aggressiveness as a lot of people play offensively.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great point. Keon makes it unpleasant to play against him in the Kings defense. Too often the Kings defense has been like, what would you like? We'll roll out the red carpet.
Right.
Jump shot, whatever. But with Keon out there, that doesn't happen.
Right. He's looking to disrupt the offense, you know, other teams' offense. Let's give Malik Monk some love. I know we've been talking about Malik, but the way he competes for this Sacramento Kings team, and I said it during the last hour, this guy isn't just a vital member of the team, of the organization, the franchise. He is a big part of this city. And when we talk about who we want to be as a city, Sacramento, Malik Monk is the kind of guy that makes this city proud. You know, he's not flashy. He's not, you know, a champagne taste. Like, this guy gets it out of the mud. He's from small town Lepanto, Arkansas, and has made it all the way to the NBA, and he's going to be the sixth man of the year. This guy has to be a part of this city going forward.
Yeah, I think he reflects a lot of the values we have in this city. He's very authentic. And what you see is what you get. Whatever you hear from Malik Monk, it's true, it's honest, it's coming right from his heart.
Yes, and that's Drape's take for tonight. It is brought to you, of course, by Alsco Uniforms. Make sure you check out my fine friends at Alsco Uniforms. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms. All right, that's Drape's take for tonight. I'm done, big fella. I'm done.
Nice. When's the, what do you call it? When you do it again. What is it when you do an act and you do it again? The encore.
Oh, the encore.
That was the encore performance, right?
That was the encore performance. Yeah. And we'll have another one tomorrow after this game. But, yeah, we'll be back. Yep.
What was your reaction when that game started out the way it did last night and it started getting further and further and further and further out of reach for the Bucks?
I thought the Bucks would make one run. Like, because usually in the NBA, you know, teams make – everybody makes a run, right? But the Kings, to their credit last night, and sure, they had some defensive breakdowns. Sure, sometimes, like the start of the third quarter, I don't think the shots were falling. But the pace and the intensity was there throughout. And that's what, if you're Mike Brown, that's what you want to see from this team. The shots may not always fall, but you can still play the same way. And so once they started out like they did, I said, all right, we've seen this before, you know. But once it kept going, this what Chicago should have been like. This is what Miami should have been like. All these other games where it's like a coronation, a celebration, if you will, at Golden 1 Center. That's what we saw last night.
What do you think of this from Alex on the chat? Actually, it's from Ryan Williams Art. Sorry about that, Alex. The Bucks stopped here.
You know, the Bucks. This was their worst offensive performance in terms of field goal percentage and three-point percentage of the entire season. And I said it during the broadcast, Whitey. Finally, somebody comes into Sacramento and doesn't shoot lights out.
Yeah.
Like Malik Beasley, he had some good looks, shots he normally makes. But finally, the ball bounced our way. It didn't just drop in for the opponent. And it felt good last night.
I thought it was incredible in that third quarter. You know, I'm looking up like, wow, the Kings haven't scored much this quarter. They had a 20-point third quarter. And the Bucks only scored 22.
Yeah.
So they only gave up 2 points in that lead.
I said it was a rock fight last night.
You
know, and you know what? Usually when the Kings struggle offensively, the defense struggles
everything
falls apart. That didn't happen last night.
Yep. We salute the Kings record busters when we come back. Drive, guys.
It's pretty crazy, you know, to have a record for the franchise, you know, and, you know, my teammates, you know, they come out, they basically help me do what I do, you know, and I want to thank the fans, you know, they're on everything, they know everything, you know, and they appreciate everything, so it means a lot to me.
Domantas Sabonis now holds the franchise record, not just the Sacramento record,
franchise,
but the Rochester, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Omaha, Sacramento record for most consecutive games with a double-double. He now has 47?
47, yeah.
One more than Jerry Lucas
had. Single-season record, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing that he's had 60 double-doubles in 65 games, I think it is. Think about that. Like, so it's more than likely this streak will continue.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think Moses Malone had 60 in his first 63 games or something like that. But, like, 95% of the games, this guy's having a double-double, which is crazy when you think about it.
Rest in peace, Moses Malone.
Oh, I love him.
Didn't he used to miss shots on purpose so he could get off
with
the rebound?
Dude, I say that during the broadcast sometimes. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Not our guys are missing it, but when you miss a shot and get your own rebound, it's like your Moses Malone style out there. I got a chance to meet the great Moses Malone a couple of times, but at the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony, Tommy Heinsohn was being inducted as a coach, and I'm in line to get some grub. Moses is right next to me, and mind you, I grew up in Philadelphia, so Moses is the man in Philly. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was a kid, I was fanboy, and I was like, oh my gosh, Moses Malone. And then a few days later he passed away. It was like I'm glad and blessed and fortunate to got to meet the great Moses Malone.
Yeah, good for you, that's awesome. Domas also awesome. And then to your point, you know, last night before the game, talking to some people about, oh, if he breaks the record. And really, when you thought about it, it's like, there is almost no drama. You never know what's going to happen.
Right,
it's like,
right.
A double-double for him is like almost nothing.
Nothing, right? I mean, he has that in the first half a lot of times. And it's amazing that, you know, I think Kevin Love's streak of like 55 or 57 in a single season in a row.
I think it's only like,
is it,
I had it yesterday.
It,
I think it's lower than that, and I have it written down.
Somewhere. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
within reach.
It's within reach. And when you think, like, that number sounds so strange, like, oh my God,
53, 2011.
53. Domas is, like, if he doesn't get it, something went terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
He didn't play all game, or he got hurt, or it's a blowout or something. Like, that should be – check it down. Mark it down.
Mm-hmm.
He should have that record. You know what's crazy about Domas, and we started this season talking about? I said pencil him in, his 19, 12, and 7. I didn't think he could be any better, Whitey.
I agree.
And
I
he
said
has
the same
surpassed
thing.
That. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing. He's having a historic season, a better season. Didn't make the All-Star team. We could talk about that. But I didn't know there was levels to Domas that he could climb to, and he's just getting better and better.
The most impressive thing to me is not so much the passing, because we knew he was a,
yeah,
you know, you run the offense through him, he's a very willing and able passer. Just the fact that he's so efficient with his field goals every game. You know,
right.
If he goes, if he's under 50% in a game, it's like, ooh, what happened to
right.
him?
Yeah.
You know?
You know, 100%. And, you know, we got a team in the Lakers that he's owned recently, and there are certain matchups that do cause Domas problems, though. You know, the big physical, like Zubats, let's say, even though he played, you know, Domas. But you may be able to stop Domas once, twice, but for an entire game, I just, you know, he's just automatic.
What do you think this game means for Anthony Davis? Doesn't he at some point, don't you think that his teammates are looking to him tonight and kind of unsaid but understood, like, hey, hello, this guy owns you. What are you going to do? You're Anthony Davis.
Let me just start off by saying I'm a huge Anthony Davis fan. I was a big fan of his coming out of college, coming out of Kentucky. I thought he was going to be special from day one. But his motor is a little different. I don't know if it bothers him that he's 0-9 against Domas. You know what I mean? I don't – like, I thought last game he was going to come out and show something, because we had been talking about him being 0-8 against Domantas Sabonis. And once again, he was a non-factor. And so – maybe that's LeBron's job. Maybe it's Phil Handy's job, an assistant coach or something like that, to be like, Domas, I mean, Anthony, you see these numbers? This dude is dominating you. Like, I expect, because if you remember, after the Clippers, after the Minnesota win the other day, Anthony Davis was being interviewed and said, yeah, now we go to SAC and – you know, we let one slip away, but we'll be ready this time, basically, is what he said. So I'm expecting a much better, much more engaged Anthony Davis tonight.
Yeah, he says that until he gets that first
right.
Shot to the chest. Like, all right, I'm out.
Until
I'm
he picks up two quick fouls because Domas is muscling him, yeah.
Yeah, so Domas is the new franchise record holder, consecutive double-doubles, and Malik Monk is the Sacramento era record holder for most assists by a reserve player. And I had not considered this when I heard that last night. You're right. It's like, he just got here.
He just got here. And, you know, a year and a half, signed a two-year deal, obviously, here in Sacramento. And I don't know if there's been a more, and you'll have to tell me, an impactful free agent in the last 20 years for Sacramento. Like, free agent signing. Mm-hmm. Not talking trade or draft or anything. I'm talking about somebody that said, you know what? I want to be there in Sacramento. I choose you, and then actually backs it up on the court.
Now, I can't remember off the top of my head, and I apologize. People out there, they'll know if Bijax was a trade or if he was a free agent. But it's amazing how similar those two guys are.
Yes.
Just in terms of the energy they bring. Here is Malik last night talking about having told, you know, Bobby Jackson used to coach him.
Yep.
He says he told Bijax he was going to break his record.
Hey, Malik, back to that record, the assist record here for the franchise.
Yeah, I told Bobby I was going to beat him.
Did you?
Yeah, I told him that.
How do you take it?
And I told him that before I even, as soon as I signed, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to beat your records, Bobby. I've been here 2 years, too.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, when De'Aaron Fox came out later and he was asked about it, he said, Bobby Jackson didn't want to share the ball. It's a, not a big deal that you break that record, Malik. So they had some fun with that.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And, no, I talked to Mike Bibby about, you know, just playing with Bobby Jackson. And, you know, he said, hey, man, B-Jax was coming out there to get buckets. And so there is a little bit of difference. But the one similarity that you have between these guys, and you talk to anybody, they could start on a lot of teams,
mm-hmm.
you know. Bobby Jackson could have went elsewhere. And had a bigger role and started, but he wanted to be inside. Same thing with Malik Monk. It'll be interesting what Malik decides to do this offseason, but I think everybody hopes he stays here because, like I said, he could be a special player for a long time here in Sacramento.
That would be, you know, I was going to say devastating, and then I wasn't sure, wow, that might be overstating it, but I don't think so. If they were to lose Malik Monk in this offseason, that would really put a huge hole in their plans.
A huge hole because, you know, to me, and Sean Cunningham said this earlier, Malik Monk is the prototypical sixth man. Like, he's exactly what you need as a sixth man. And those are hard to replace out there. You know, first of all, a guy that accepts his role, number one, which Malik does. Second of all, you know, and I've told this story a number of times, and I'll tell it again. Tommy Heinsohn, who I used to work with in Boston, used to say the role of the sixth man is either A, if the starters build a lead, to keep it going, or B, if the starters don't have it that night, to come in and change that energy. And every time Malik plays, it's like he comes with an energy, I think, that, you know, is so valuable to this franchise. And, you know, he's averaging better than 23 points per game, I think it is, in the month of March. And so he's getting stronger and better as this season is going on.
Thank you, Jay. Jay did the research here on your question. Yeah, Bobby Jackson was a free agent when he came here to Sacramento, but that was 2000, so it's not within the last 20 years.
Not within the last 20 years. Uh-huh. Exactly. And you know, maybe the biggest, you know, free agent impact since Bobby Jackson.
Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm.
He's been tremendous out here.
Jay did some more research here while we've been doing our show. You were wondering how many Knicks are on the Ringer list of top 100 players right now. That list does not have Malik Monk on it, but it does have four Knicks: Jalen Brunson, Julius Randolph, OG Anunoby, and Isaiah Hartenstein.
Really? So Hartenstein, they're saying, is their fourth best player. No Josh Hart, no Dante DiVincenzo. Like, for Malik Monk not even to be in a conversation with Isaiah Hartenstein, like, he's not even.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
it's not worth us getting mad about.
He's not even in Isaiah Hartenstein's class.
It's just a joke. It's like, well,
I'll tell you what.
That's wrong.
We need to get this article and send it to Malik because you know who's coming to town Saturday. Isaiah freaking Hartenstein.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly. So if I'm Malik, I might go on for 50 against this clown. Seriously, how is Isaiah? And I'll tell you what. A lot of people that watch basketball and talk about basketball, they are high on Isaiah
and
Hartenstein.
He didn't put himself on the
list. Yeah, it's nothing against Isaiah Hartenstein. But for Malik Monk not to even be mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Who's number 100? Who's the last guy? Give me that.
I just had that. Was it, let's see.
I want to know number 100.
All right. 94, Norm Powell. 95, Vucevic. 96, Scary Terry. 97, Chris Paul. 98, Isaiah Hartenstein. 99, Walker Kessler. Number 100, Brandon Miller, Charlotte Hornets.
Why does the Ringer do this, man? Why do they?
Maybe that's why. Maybe they know that, watch this. Watch those guys in Sacramento.
Yeah, we'll get Sacramento.
They hang on every word. No one else pays any attention to this garbage.
And the fact that we only have two guys and the Knicks have four, and Chris Paul is on the list ahead of Malik Monk. Guys are getting paid to put out this content, too. Like, people are paying good money to read this stuff, and it's wrong.
Isaiah Hartenstein, Drapes, rock-solid two-way big man who's proving he's more than just a high-level backup.
I don't even want to hear it. Like, and no offense to Isaiah Hartenstein. He's being dragged into this conversation. Like, he just happens to be on the list, and all of a sudden, we just start railing against him, and it's not anything against him. It's that we just think Malik Monk's better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Austin Reeves is – I'm getting upset. My blood pressure. Because this Austin Reeves love fest that's going on around the league right now, I understand a solid player. But how does he make Team USA? Like, if he played for the Charlotte Hornets, nobody would care about him. Because he wears that Lakers laundry – that's what's killing us.
Do you think that Malik would like to go somewhere and start? We're just guessing. He's given no indication that he wants to be anywhere else. Sometimes players give an indication they want to be somewhere else, and they end up staying. But he's given no indication. He's totally bought it, and maybe it's just a matter of I'll deal with that when I deal with it. I don't know. Every indication is he loves it here, and he's locked in here, happy here. But do you think, what's your best guess? A guy like that, you think he'd like to go somewhere? Get more money and start.
You know what? I think it depends on the situation, because Malik has been in non-contending teams before. Like, for instance, let's say Charlotte offers the bag. Would he really go back to be a part of that organization and play not meaningful basketball? Like, your season's over pretty much in December.
Probably not, but Orlando, San Antonio?
Right.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I hope not.
You know what? I'm sorry, Whitey. I just got a text. Hey, Jay, I'm going to text you something, man. We got a special guest set to join us.
Really?
Coming up next. Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, let's.
Can't wait to find out who it is when we come back to the Golden One Center. Drive, guys. Surprise guest next. Sacktown Sports. Wow, we just found out that Drapes was a victim of some friendly fire on our airwaves early this morning. We'll get to that. But first, we have a very special guest.
Yeah, we got to get my guy in. He's currently assistant coach with the Philadelphia 76ers. They are on the road taking on the Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow. He's a scratch golfer. I think he got to be scratched by now. All the work he puts in. Sacramento Kings legend Bobby Jackson joining the Drive, guys. B. Jax, what's up, baby?
What's going on, Drake, man? How you doing?
I'm okay. I had my golf lesson with your boy Tom earlier today. You know how it is, B. Jax. It's a work in progress, bro. I'm still working at it.
Well, at least you get to touch your golf clubs. I haven't touched my golf club since I got to Philadelphia. That scratch golfer, that 3-4 is probably like a 10-12 now.
Ooh, I might be able to get you now, then, you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but.
Hey, man, I was texting with you, and I thought, you know what, it'd be great to have Bobby Jackson on with us right now, because we were talking about Malik Monk and just what he's been able to do as sixth man this year for the Kings.
Breaking Bobby's record. Yeah.
Yeah, he broke your record for most assists as a reserve. Just give me your thoughts on Malik and that record now being his and not yours, my man.
Man, I think records are made to be broken, right? I think what Malik has done in the 2 years in Sacramento that it took me 5 to do, right, it tells you what type of tremendous basketball player he is. And I didn't pass the ball, to be honest, quite frankly honest with you. Right? Malik is a way much better passer, playmaker to me. I was trying to go get mine. So, you know, it's good, you know, just to be remembered and to be in the same conversation as Malik, because he's one of the all-time great reserves, and hopefully he wins that Sixth Man of the Year award.
Bobby, this is Whitey. It's great to have you on. We appreciate it. I want to ask you about a couple things. Malik last night said that he told you he was going to break your record. And then De'Aaron said something that you just said. De'Aaron said the record's not that big a deal because B-Jax wasn't looking to share the ball anyway. So what well, you already told us about one of those.
Everybody knew that. Passing wasn't my strong suit. Right. And it just says a lot about, you know, Malik's game. He's averaging, 16, 17, maybe, 16 points a game?
Yeah, he's right around 16, yep.
Yep, and then he's averaging 5.5, almost 5.5, 6 assists. So, you know, man, listen, I barely pass, and I think, you know, his skill level has shown, his athleticism has shown that, you know, the type of player that he's capable of being, right? And I think he is one of the ignitions and one of the key components while Sacramento is playing well. And so I wish him nothing but love and nothing but success. He texted me last night talking junk, and that's just our relationship that we have, right? It's just friendly. And again, I was like, man, I'm happy for you, bro. You're right. I think, you know, the world of him. I think he's an amazing person, but he's an unbelievable basketball player and teammate as well.
Bobby Jackson joining us right now, Kings legend, assistant coach with the Sixers. B-Jax, you know, one thing I said about Malik and his role, it goes deeper than what we see on the floor. Like, I would like him to be a part of this city for years to come. You're a fan favorite. You lived through it as well. When you play for the Sacramento Kings and have the success that you had, what kind of connection did you feel with the city, and what's it like to this day when you come back here to Sacramento?
Man, it's different, right? I think, you know, my connection to the city, I think the number one thing that we had success, right? And I think that was one of the things that kind of played off on, you know, us, you know, me being able to stay in soccer for a long time, but also, right, being able to work for the Kings for a long time. And I think Malik has that bright spot in his future, right? And I know he wants to be a King for the rest of his career, right? And I think, you know, he deserved that. His game speaks for itself, right? And hopefully something gets done where he's there for a while, because he's a staple, right? Just on the team, but then the community, right? I've been in Sac since 2000. You know, I do a lot of giving back to the community, right? And so for me, that was something that I knew I wanted to do once I kind of made Sac my home.
Bobby, I want to ask you about the mentality of the Sixth Man, and I've mentioned this to Malik. In some ways, he's reminded me of you, because when you played, it seemed as if you understood and accepted and excelled in your role, but it's almost as if you were showing everybody, I'm good enough to be a starter. To me, you played with that edge, and it helped you. Malik, to me, plays the same kind of way. Tell us about what kind of mentality you have to have when you're coming off the bench and your job is really to inject energy into your team.
Yeah, I think we all, as basketball players, we want to be starters, right? And I think playing with that edge allowed me to be successful, but also is allowing him to be successful. When he comes in a game, you can tell the momentum of the game changes, right? The scoring goes up, the pace picks up, right? The passing, the athleticism picks up, right? So, you know, I think me being 6 feet, right, I kind of revolutionized, I changed the game and made small guards a little bit relevant coming off the bench. But again, I know Malik wants to be a starter, but in this role, this allows him to be the spotlight and everything focused on him with that second unit. And he's relishing in it, he's thriving in it, and they are playing through him with that second unit.
Bobby Jackson joining us here to Drive Guys, Sactown Sports 1140. Bobby, obviously you were here as an assistant coach of the Stockton Kings as well. You saw De'Aaron Fox come up. you know, from a young kid out of Kentucky to an all-star last season, one of the top guards in the league. Just talk about his development, man, and we're going to see you guys coming up in a few weeks here in Sacramento. Just his development over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years of his career.
Oh, man, the young D. Fox came in, his eyes bright, right? Didn't know a lot about the game, had a lot of athleticism and speed, right? You can tell how he's developed his game over the last 5, 6 years, and there's a reason why he's averaging 25, 26 points a game because of, you know, his love and dedication to the game. And I'm happy for him because he's an amazing young man, right? Great husband, great father, right? And an amazing teammate. You know, so I think with him, watching him develop and, you know, become an all-star, which him or Sabonis should have been all-stars this year, which was crazy. But, right, I think he's, you know, taking a leap and a step of his own to try to, you know, make a name for himself, but also continue to be one of the top guards in this league to put this team over the top.
Bobby, another similarity between you and Malik, in my view, is that both of you seem to be authentic. I mean, we're going to know what you're actually thinking and feeling because you share that with us. That's one of the things that made you a favorite as a broadcaster. But now, as you're a coach here, what have you enjoyed the most about leaving the broadcast booth and getting into coaching?
Well, I think the love for the game, right? Watching film nonstop, helping the guys develop on the floor, helping the guys see that success when they put the work in. But it's just the overall maturation of loving the game, right? And just the competitive edge and the competitive spirit that you see every single night. You can't get away from it. And there's nothing like playing, but it's the closest thing to it, right? When you see the guys, you know, win games, when you see they get the career highs, when you see the bumping and the grinding and the competitive drive, the hard screens, right, and the support that they have for each other. So, you know, the coaching side is a lot different than the playing side, but, you know, it's just as fun and just as entertaining.
Bobby Drapes here. My last question. You know, one thing I like about, you know, watching you, watching Doug here is, A, how you guys work with the players, but, B, the fraternity you have with players from your era that are on the other benches, you know, as you go from city to city. You go to Milwaukee tomorrow, you guys play the Bucks. What's that like? You know, you used to be rivals, you used to do battle, but now it's all love as assistant coaches.
Yeah, it's always going to be love as assistant coaches because we battled for so many years. Now, it doesn't mean we don't want to kick their butt when we come up against them, but it's just the joy of the game. When I come to SAC, guess what? Me and Doug are going to be talking smack to each other. It's what we do, right? And people be like, are you guys playing? No, we talk smack to each other like we hate each other. But I think just being open and candid and holding guys accountable and communicating to them at a high level, right? Especially as players and now coaches, they know that we've been through that battle and we've been through the wars that we can kind of relate to. So it kind of works hand in hand and gives us the opportunity to kind of live through the players.
Our guy, Sacramento Kings legend Bobby Jackson, former Sixth Man of the Year, talking about another Sixth Man of the Year, and our guy Malik Monk is going to happen this year. B-Jax, thanks for jumping on with the Drive, guys, man.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, I'll at you. Man, that's great stuff.
Thank
right
you.
Yeah, no problem, no problem.
That was tremendous. Coming up after finally beating the Bucks, the Kings will try to do something else tonight that they haven't done since the 2015-2016 season. Tell you what that is when we come back. Drive, guys, Sactown Sports.